Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, right there for you, wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, also as well, of course, we got Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. Also, the great folks at LakersBall.com. Go ahead and check out the conversation Ox1947 is having, because he is probably ranting up a storm. Half of it's good for him because his alma mater, San Diego State, won. But half of it's bad because of what happened with the Lakers. And you'll find out at LakersBall.com. Plus, also as well, support him if you're in the Southern California area and you want your lawn transformed into something much better than it is today. Go ahead and check it out today at Simblades. Simblades with a Y.com. The Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. Go ahead and check out the guys as they analyze in detail everyone that's playing right now in the tournament to see who might go where in the NBA draft. So there's no better place to go for your NBA draft coverage than the Upside Swings NBA draft coverage right there for you. It's Upside Swings NBA draft podcast. Plus also as well, every Friday morning, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. It is Magic Man in the Morning, giving you the lowdown on what's going on with life, the NBA, sports, and so much more. Go ahead and check it out Friday, wherever you get your YouTube on the Lakers Fast Break channel. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever it is that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break and all everything that we do. All the great shows, all the great things that we cover, including Lakerholics.com. It is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers got some great news this morning, much earlier than expected, when LeBron James announced that he had been moved up from doubtful to playing. And everybody got excited because for the second time in his career, LeBron James would be coming off the bench, and with the team mired knee deep in the waters of the Western Conference playoff run, just two games out of fourth place coming into today. It looked really good for the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell, unfortunately, still out with the hip soreness, and Mo Bamba still out. But LeBron James coming back in the lineup. What could go wrong today against the Chicago Bulls? Well, unfortunately, everything went wrong for the Lakers as they pulled a dud out of the hat. Unfortunately, the defense was absolutely miserable. No rotations. Chicago just absolutely just shot the lights out on the Lakers, especially in that first half. One time, over 60% from three. They ended up 45% from three, 54% overall as a team. Just destroyed the Lakers inside and out. And even with Nikola Vucevic getting thrown out, the Lakers just could not find any momentum. The third quarter, the Lakers pulled another dud. The second quarter, the Lakers looked awful. They just got outscored in the first through third quarter, just could not keep up with the Chicago Bulls. The Lakers looked listless on offense, terrible on defense, and even LeBron James coming back into the game couldn't get it done, as the Lakers just could not find any which way to stay in this game as they get thumped at home 118-108 in a crucial game for the Lakers. and really all odds now, all eyes have to be on Chicago as we go ahead to Chicago on Wednesday. We have to go ahead and split. But here today to talk about today's game, as the Lakers right now are 37-38 and could find themselves out of the mix by the time Wednesday rolls around. First man up, first man here, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today with the guys from the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. It is Stone Hansen. And Stone, great news with LeBron, but unfortunately it's very bittersweet as the Lakers pull off one of the worst games I've seen in quite some time, even from them in this season.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was a pretty disgusting performance. The good news, I mean, if you're looking for silver linings, is that LeBron is back for the next game. And, you know, much sooner than we expected. I think we had all said that, you know, maybe the Clippers game, he's coming back. But getting a few extra games before that game helps us quite a bit. It's his first game back. He looked a bit rusty in the first half, especially. So hopefully next game, you know, he's looks a little bit better, and we have D'Lo back as well. But the fact that, you know, we couldn't take advantage of Vucevic getting thrown out of the game, I was screaming the entire playback of, like, run a pick and roll. The Lakers could not execute that for whatever reason. It seemed like that should have been the game plan spoken at the halftime. I don't know why you wouldn't put, you know, Andre Drummond in pick and roll every single time that you can. And I think they ran one pick and roll in the entire second half, which is pretty atrocious. Defensively, we looked awful. They were just getting pretty much wherever they wanted. Offensively, we actually shot fairly well. I mean, 51% from the field is a pretty good mark, but the ball just didn't look like it was moving nearly as much as it should have been. And we almost felt like we were letting too many guys have opportunities, which is a weird thing to say, but like LeBron and Anthony Davis should have been prioritized in this game offensively, and it was just more of a spread out type performance when you should be using those guys to attack at the rim the whole time when you don't really have any rim protectors on the Bulls team. So it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. The game plan seemed off from the get-go, and yeah, I mean, this is a blown opportunity for the Lakers.
Absolutely, a blown opportunity indeed. Again, I want to go ahead and make everyone aware that the Lakers right now are 37-38. They are ninth place in the Western Conference. But again, since the fact they have 2 days off until their rematch in Chicago, they could very well find themselves out of the Western Conference playoff mix by that time. We'll see what happens. But also here today, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out every Friday morning as Magic Man in the Morning. He is not trying to rob you at any point in time. Just wanted to let you know he is part of the Toronto Mafia because he's the madman from Toronto. He just can't get out of Toronto traffic unless it's to watch LeBron be a part of a Lakers dud. It is a good man indeed, though. Please check him out every Friday. It is the Magic Man, Sean Grice. And Sean, you truly have to be disappointed by what you're seeing. You were there early. You were hosting the pregame. You were there making the effort for us on playback, which is much appreciated. Nick Molina, Joe Soro was there. You guys were all killing it. Stone, you know, we were all there. We were all of us excited. We had one of our highest viewerships of the year. Yes. For playback. And what did it lead to? All that excitement from us could not translate into a Lakers good effort, at least. It was just an absolutely poor effort from the get-go, and a lot of it has to go to the coaching staff.
Yes, Gerald, 100%. It was almost as if you saw LeBron playing today. So it's almost like you're flipping through those magazines and you see that delicious cake and you say to yourself, oh, I've got all the ingredients for this. I can make that exact same cake. And you have all the ingredients ready. You think you have what's a cake. You put it in the oven, Gerald. And then about 40 minutes later, what's that smell? Is there something burning? Yes, yes, you burn that beautiful cake. And you take the cake out, and it doesn't look like a cake anymore, Gerald. That's kind of what this performance was, flat from the start. And like you said, Gerald, I think that's firmly on the coaching staff, not having them ready to go staying frosty. Nope, we're going to tiptoe through the tulips again. And it seemed like they couldn't miss. They, like you said, drilled early. They hit their first 70% of their shots from three. It just didn't seem like they were going to miss at all. Now, eventually, they cooled off a little bit. They only shot 45% from the game rather than 70, but it was just a trouncing. Like, the score makes it look like the game is closer than it really was. They had 32 assists to 9 turnovers. We had 24 assists to 18 turnovers. Terrible, terrible ratio.
But I can't really blame this on LeBron looking rusty because, you know, the fact is he didn't play enough minutes to, I think, really change the outcome. The Lakers from the start looked awful, even when LeBron wasn't in there.
Yeah, they were terrible. They were terrible. Unless they were countering off a Bulls turnover, and by the way, they only had 9. The Lakers just had no semblance of a transition offense. And you've mentioned that before, Gerald, that one of the biggest elephants in the room as far as the offense is concerned is the lack of transition attacks since the deadline move. They're really not trying to make their hay off transition, and it's affecting them because, for God's sakes, you had Vooch out of the game and Chicago still beat you with points in the paint, 50-46. So absolutely you got beat in points in the paint. You got beat on the boards. You got beat with your IQ tonight because you just turned the ball over way too much. And this is just another example of, you know what? I'm not surprised with the result. I'm really not. I got to say, just given the fact that every time it just seems like there's been a little bit of momentum or some white light that they could sneak their way through, it goes black. Lights go out. Like Gerald Singh, this team cannot stand prosperity. He should put that on a bumper sticker and have it as the theme for 2022, 2023, because they just can't. I mean, they were coming off 3 games in wins in a row. And by the way, before this atrocious effort, the 3 previous games that you lost in the past 10, you only lost by 4. You lost by the Knicks to 4. We lost to even though the Rockets game was bad. But still, you've been showing effort even in a loss. And this game, none. No effort whatsoever. It was pitiful. It was pitiful. And Gerald is right. I was pretty excited about this. I got there about 45 minutes earlier, and I got to see some of the crowd that was at hand at the Crypt. And this was a family game. It really was. There was I saw a lot of families in the crowd. So these people put out their hard-earned money, about $500 a pop. Maybe a little bit more, Gerald, at the Crypt now, but around there, for 4 tickets, and they saw that effort. That was not worth the money. I'm sorry to all the spectators at the Crypt. You didn't get the effort you deserved because they decided not to show up today.
Once again, it's the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do unfortunately get their butts kicked. LeBron James' return unfortunately did not work out for the Lakers as they lose 118-108. Stone, I'm just very disappointed in this effort from the Lakers today. I mean, you hit it on the head when you said about AD, only 8 shots today. I know Dr. Nukes pointed it out as well in the chat. It's just very disappointing effort. AD, on top of everything else, jammed his finger trying to catch a pass in the second half. Not very good sign for the Lakers so far, especially with a kind of effort. But really, to me, the effort from the get-go, even before LeBron got in the game, was really subpar.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't make it for that first quarter. I had actually totally missed the time on this game. But, you know, from second quarter and on, it just was a bad effort, but also just like the game planning was awful. Like, the offense all season has been the Nate McMillan of go out there and figure out what you're doing offensively. Like, there are multiple possessions where AD has his hands and he's shrugging, like, what am I supposed to do? Because there's no clear set that's going to be put into place. There's no, like, nobody knows what their role is on offense. It's just sort of, you know, give the ball to somebody and hope that creation is able to be made and some sort of advantage is made that we can get the ball moving a little bit, because there's no scheme, there's no offense, any game. The coach has no idea what he's doing. I think people were getting really excited with Ham making decisions. He made a couple good ones over the last, couple of games. And it's pretty sad that that is what got us excited, because when you're getting to the point where, you know, one or two good decisions in the game is what makes you think that the turnaround is happening for a coach, it's pretty clear that that coach is awful. I don't really have much more to say. Like, this team just played terrible in terms of the ball not moving as much as it should have defensively. It was awful, not taking advantage of what you could have taken in this game when Andre Drummond and Patrick Williams are the fives in the second half. Like, those are your centers. Why can you not attack the rim when they're obviously not rim protectors? Just made zero sense to me. That the game plan was off, the effort was off, and combined, you're giving yourself a pretty low chance at winning a game like that. And if you look at the stats, like, we could have won this game if we hit all our free throws. Like, if we had hit our free throws, we would have won this game. But instead, we, you know, blow all those opportunities at the line and get all these one for twos. And we end up missing, what was it, like 9 free throws this game, or probably more. I don't even know. Yeah, 9 free throws. that would have won the game or gotten close to the game. We can't shoot free throws, and that really hurts us in fourth quarters. It hurts us the whole game, but especially fourth quarters, when you really need to make them, considering the fact that you're able to stop the clock and get free points. The team is has, you know, zero offensive plan. At least you can hit a free throw, but we can't even do that. So it's given me, at this point, I'm very content with let the chips fall where they may. If we don't make the play-in, I'm fine with that, because I don't really know what the end goal is with this team. I don't think it's enough to, you know, get to the finals, and as much as people are going to hate to hear that, but it's true. I'm sorry. Or at least win the finals. And like, I'm very content with where we end up, because at the end of the day, we're either getting a top 10 pick or we're getting into the play and we get to root it for them a little bit longer before we see Darvin's get out coached over and over again. And it hurts us even more in a more coaching, like, the coaching needs to be at a much higher level in the playoffs. So whatever that happens, I'm content with, I'm happy with. At this point, I'm just sort of enjoying game by game, hopefully better efforts at the very least, to make at least competitive and fun games happen down the stretch.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cold.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it's the Lakers losing 118-108. The Lakers fall now to 37-38. Couldn't stand being at 500, could they? So they fall down to ninth place in the Western Conference. Again, they do not play until Wednesday, so there's a very real possibility, Sean, of the team not actually being in the top 10 seeds by the time Wednesday comes out. Every loss is crucial. Every win is rejoiced right now. There's just so many teams between 4th and 12th. You know, anything, any subpar efforts, if you give your hardest effort, if we can see out there on the screen that you give everything that you can, that you play smart, you give the ball to AD more often, you get him more than 8 touches in a game, that you do more to go ahead and get this team to a victory and you still lose, okay, we'll take it. You know, it's going to have to be what it has. It's going to have to be. But when you give poor efforts like you've seen today, mismanaged and outcoached every single which way you could, it to me, it just seems like, again, that this team does not have any true direction.
No, they don't, Gerald. We don't. It's Stone was saying in the podcast, it almost feels like the Lakers offense is just on auto mode. Just whoever has the ball, create an opportunity for either yourself or somebody else. And, you know, you can't, that's not a professional NBA offense. You need sets, you need rhythms, you need roles, you need people to understand all of those things in a game plan. Like Stone was saying, it seems like there's either an absence of a game plan or absence of a game plan within stretches, and he's not able to make adjustments. I mean, Andre Drummond is not a good defender. He wasn't a good defender when he was in Detroit. He's not a good defender when he was with the Lakers, when he was with the Sixers, or now with the Bulls. You need to find a way to penetrate and attack his interior defense. And they just didn't do it. They just did not do it.
I do want to say, with all respect to Zangerstein, who we truly appreciate being part of what we do here at the Lakers Fast Break, but I know that she was saying that, you know, Vando didn't play 30 minutes and that was criminal. He was a minus 27 today. So I'm not exactly sure it was his game. You know, when you see that's one of the things about coaching. When you see a player is really not having that effect in the game, Stone, maybe it's best not to have them in there. But I don't think Vando would have been able to change the course of this game, especially because he was having such a terrible impact in there while he was in there. Your thoughts on what things could have changed? I know John also covered and reiterated the fact that Vucevic got thrown out, and that's also something that has to be, again, addressed. The Lakers did not take advantage of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, Andre Drummond's just bad at defense, and the fact that you can't put him in a pick and roll is just absurd to me. And that was a golden opportunity. You have LeBron back, you have Anthony Davis, run pick and roll, like, get time after time after time, run it into the ground, and they didn't run a single one. I mean, it makes zero sense. It's why wouldn't you run a pick and roll against Drummond? The team can. I mean, LeBron is one of the best passers, right, in the league, and Anthony Davis is one of the best lob threats. Andre Drummond's one of the worst rim protectors. Why would you not run it over and over again? And he's slow, and Patrick Williams is playing backup center for them in the second half. There's just no reason, rhyme or reason to their offense. It's just sort of, and it's been this way all season, even in their wins. Like, I'm sorry, but it's true. They can shoot well, and they have nights where they shoot well and where it works enough to get wins. But even in their wins, there's no schemes, there's no sets that are played consistently, right? Like, that's just what their offense has been throughout this entire season. And it's not enough to get us, like, you know, consistent wins. That's been the problem of this team, is, as Gerald says, we can't stand prosperity. There's no consistency in wins because there's no consistency in an offense. We don't have a consistent offense. There's no real scheme or game plan from night to night. So it's kind of like almost on us for getting our hopes up, thinking that we can string together 5, 6, 7 wins, when in reality, there's just, the scheming and the planning isn't there. So we're not giving ourselves a fair shot or opportunity to win these games when you don't have that. But I mean, like I said, it is what it is. I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping the Lakers win as many as they can because I enjoy watching the Lakers. I want to see them win, but at the same time, what happens happens. Like, it's out of our control, and at the very least, we have a pick this year. So I don't mind whatever happens. Like, let the chips fall where they may. But I think that if the Lakers really want to push for this, it's not going to be with Darvin Ham. Darvin Ham is holding this team back egregiously. And it showed tonight. Like, when you look at everything, yes, we lacked effort, but who does that fall on? Who's supposed to motivate this team? Obviously our star players, but also the coach, right? The coach is in the huddles each time out telling this team, you know, this is what we have to do to get back in the game. This is the motivation you have to have. And they have to tap into the players to get this motivation there. And you have to have a coach that players respect enough to get that motivation from. And when you don't have that, and when you don't have a coach that can consistently run an offensive scheme or set, or take advantage of, you know, having Andre Drummond out there the entire second half, it's not a recipe for consistent success. And I think that that's what we've been seeing throughout this season.
That's correct. I couldn't say it better myself. The Lakers unfortunately fall with a terrible effort today, 118 to 108. Sean, I mean, Stone said it very astutely that about what the Lakers are going through right now. This team is very up and down. This team is reflective of its record at 37 and 38. They just cannot find any consistency. And the problem is, with just a few games left in the season, they have to find some consistency and win some games. Otherwise, they're just going to be, like Stone says, at the very best, they're going to be an early out for any playoff team.
Oh yeah, Gerald. I love basketball. You know, it's one of my loves, man. I don't love a whole lot of things in life, but I do love this game. And you know, when you love something, you got to be truthful about it. And look, man, if we make the playoffs, we're gonna get popped in about five games. We might win one. But I'm skeptical we can even do that. I think we're definitely gonna get popped if we play somebody like a Denver or even a Memphis. Sacramento could pop us in four. Actually, I hate saying that, but just the way we are schemed up and just for whatever reason, and Stone said it best. I think Ham is the one holding this team back.
Adam disagrees on that, and I have to respectfully disagree with him. I mean, he's clearly been outcoached on several occasions this year, and today was certainly one of those occasions.
Yeah, he was definitely outcoached today. That's very clear. Billy Donovan outcoached him. It's 100%. I don't think we're too hard on him. We have given him a pass, actually. Because of the lack of talent that has been put around him, given with the Rush trade, since that trade, they've gone 12-7. But again, I'm with Stone. I'm with Gerald. I think I'm with a lot of other people that say the talent's improved and that might improve his record, but it doesn't change the fact that he's still, an incompetent coach. He's not a good coach. I wouldn't put him in the top 20 coaches in the NBA. And we talked during the playback that he's probably more in the bottom five. Like you're around Jason Kidd, Dwayne Casey, Stephen Silas level as far as coaching. You just have better talent than those guys.
But that's the problem. You're not utilizing that better talent to consistent winning. Yes, I understand the Lakers have been injured in many ways a good portion of the season, but there should be, even after the trade, Stone, there should be ways where we're finding more victories. We're finding losses more ways than one. We're finding ways to lose more than we are finding ways to win.
Yeah, that's the thing is we've had this team now after the, you know, the trade deadline for a while now, enough to have a sample size to know, like, Ham knows what he's working with. Yes, we've had LeBron injured for the majority of that, but that's the time period that you're able to find out, you know, what does the rest of the team offer? Because LeBron's going to be able to find himself a way to fit in with the team regardless. He's that level of talent. He's that level of player that, you know, knows so much about the game and knows how he'd be able to adapt and adjust to players around him. And I think that Ham failed on the capitalizing on that frame. Like, regardless of record, just watching games, there's a lot of things Ham, I think, could have experimented with a little bit at times. He's stuck on these two guard or three guard lineups. We didn't see the three guard thankfully today, but he's stuck on this. He has, like, I mean, defensively, you can figure out what you need to do defensively with LeBron not there and when AD sits out. And I don't think he's found a consistent answer for that either. I think, to be clear, the talent defensively on this Lakers team is pretty subpar. Like, Anthony Davis is pretty much the linchpin for this defense. I think that some nights Schroeder plays really, really hard and is locked in and can be an effective point of attack defender. I think that Vando is obviously a very talented defender. But then outside of those three guys, it's sort of you're hoping you get some sort of effort from somebody on any given night. There's not really like a consistent defensive talent that you're able to look at and be like, you know, if the offense isn't clicking because we have no offensive scheme, at least we can hold our own defensively and get back in the game that way. But when AD sits out, you just see like the defense collapses. Wenyan is obviously, he is what he is. And we shouldn't put like AD expectations on him because it's unfair to him, but he's not a rim protector. So it really hurts us when AD sits because that is our defense. It's like we get blown by on the perimeter if it's not on Vando. So we have to have someone at the rim protecting it. And if AD's sitting, we don't have that. So I think that there's just issues beyond the coaching too, I will say. Like, I think that, you know, we need more defensive personnel. But the biggest issue at the moment for me, at least that I'm seeing consistently, is the lack of, you know, offensive game planning and defensive game planning from Ham. And I think that that seems to be the single biggest factor, even though I don't think it's the only factor that the Lakers are inconsistent.
Once again, it's the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do fall 118 to 108. Stone, I'm going to say that the Lakers are not as deep. I've said this actually going in the past couple of weeks, that they are better, they are deeper, but they are still not where they need to be. There are still significant holes in the roster. Do you agree, Stone?
Oh, yeah. Like, even after the deadline, I know people were excited, and we did improve. There's no question about that. We improved by subtraction with Westbrook, but also by addition with the pieces we got back. The big issue for me has for a long time been point of attack defense. We haven't really had that since Caruso left. I know people wanted Patrick Beverley to be that. He wasn't, at least not to the level we needed. Schroeder is that depending on the game. It's just inconsistent with him. We point of attack defense and perimeter defense is the biggest issue, I think, in terms of holes that need to be filled, as well as backup center and a backup rim protector. I think offensively, like we have enough pieces to make it happen. Obviously, like a coach that implements some sort of offensive system on a night-to-night basis would be able to take advantage of the aspects of offense we have. But I think we have the pieces for that. I think defensively is the bigger holes that we have in terms of roster. And I think that it comes from both perimeter defense and then, like I said, a backup rim protector. Those would probably be the biggest needs I'd like to fill this offseason.
Sean, I want to ask you this. This is the game we had to have because now the Lakers are going out to close the season almost with seven games left. Five of them are on the road. The next five games are on the road, so it doesn't get any easier for us, and it starts on Wednesday in Chicago for the rematch, which, again, you're going to have Vucevic back for probably, I'm assuming, a full four quarters. And then you're going to have a very motivated Patrick Beverley again, et cetera, like we saw today. What do the Lakers need to do to get it together? LeBron will be back. He'll be able to play a little bit more in the offense. He did look a little rusty today, but again, it isn't all on LeBron. It isn't all, again, this team got outcoached and outplayed from the very start, from the very get-go. They need to change things around because, again, the next five games are on the road.
Yeah, 100%. And I'll answer your question, Gerald. Then I have a question for you. I expect the effort to be much better Wednesday, like much, much better. And you would hope that the Lakers would take advantage of the situation that presents itself to them on Wednesday. You're coming into a team's barn, but they've been on a 3-4 at that point because they're playing the Clippers tomorrow night. So you're getting them when they're a little bit tired and they're coming back across the country. If the Lakers aren't going to win that game, I mean, just fold up the tent. Just fold up the tent, because what really pissed me off today, and I mentioned it before you fine gentlemen joined me on playback, is that I did not want the coaching staff or LeBron to potentially take the ball out of Austin Reeves' hands and have him defer just for defer sake. That's not that, again, there's no point. There's no point and purpose to that. He's playing very well. And Gerald, do you think at this point in time that Malik Beasley and Troy Brown Jr. should have more shot attempts than Austin Reeves?
It should be where AD and LeBron are getting most of the touches, that everybody else feeds off that. Plus, they need to go a lot more transition. Five fast break points does not make a winning game a success.
It doesn't. It just felt like all the momentum they helped create amongst themselves the past three games, they just blew it up. They just decided to blow its brains out. And I understand people saying, well, you know, maybe LeBron, why did LeBron choose today of all days to come back? Well, you know something? That was a collaborative effort by everybody saying he should have come off the bench. That's the only issue I have. Why is he coming off the bench? That made no sense whatsoever. None. Because you already have a deficit with your bench play. Like, because Malik Beasley is up and down, and we don't know what we're getting from Schroeder night to night either. The bench play is kind of sketchy, and you just decide, yeah, we'll put LeBron with the bench guys and see what happens. I'm just so disappointed at this game, Gerald. The more I think about it now, it's not just an effort, it's an attitude. You know, Darvin Ham has one hand in his pocket and the other one is up his nostril, it seems, during games, rather than focusing in on what's going on the court. I'm just frustrated at this point beyond belief. I understand what Stone was saying about just watching this trifling garbage at times. And we're not trying to be like overtly negative, but that's what we're seeing. It's garbage. It's not quality standardized NBA play. It's not.
This is two different teams, right? We see on good nights, we see a really, really good Lakers team that click offensively, not necessarily due to scheme or offensive planning, more due to the fact that they're just connecting with each other as players. And that works really well, and we'll have good nights, and we shoot well, and we defend well, and we're locked in defensively. And there's other days like today where we're just bad. And I think when you have that sort of inconsistency, you're just expecting like, you know, a ton from a team like that is just setting yourself up, I think, for failure, because it's false hopes. Because even though that consistency, you're hoping that it improves, it only gets exploited more, that inconsistency, when the playoffs come around. Like that, I don't know how much I can stress this, but like that sort of thing gets exploited more and more. And yes, they might be more intense when they play in the playoffs, but coaching is a huge factor in playoffs, and Ham has proven that he's going to be consistently outcoached in that regard. I think that the Lakers, at this point, their focus, people really wanted the playoff seed, like a top six seed, and I really think that, you know, that's the best possible outcome for the Lakers. Is it's still like plausible, there's still a route to that, and I would love for the Lakers to be able to avoid the play, and that's, I think, the goal for every team that's in this position. But I think at this point, going game by game and trying to just stay in the play in should be the goal for the Lakers, and what Lakers fans should really be like hoping for at this point. Because I mean, there is a chance that, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility by any means that the Lakers fall out of the play in. Like, that's not like something that's obscene to say that.
Well, because they have 2 days off. They don't play until Wednesday. They could very well find themselves in 11th or 12th place by the time all is said and done.
Exactly. And I think that just fighting for that play in is what we need to be looking at. Like, just we first have to get to that hurdle of just being the play in. So that has to be, I think, the main focus. And I think that it should be the main like goal for the Lakers, is just make that play in first, because that's really what we're after, whether it's a playoff or a play in. At this point, I don't really care. I would love a playoff seed, but if we want to see more Lakers and more in the postseason, just making that play in, I think, is what we should be focusing on, because trying to look too far ahead might be what the Lakers are, might be a factor in what is getting the Lakers into this sort of trouble.
Hi, this is Mr. Holiday from the podcast My Worst Holiday, and you're listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. It is the Lakers, unfortunately, losing, getting their butts kicked in LeBron's return, 118-108. Sean, back to you right now, my friend. When you see this kind of lack of effort, does it concern you, especially with D'Lo also sitting out with the hip soreness? Do you think it's something that, unfortunately, you're very sad to see as we go out on this 5-game road trip?
Yes, I am concerned, Gerald. This is a Sunday afternoon game. You've just won 3 in a row, and you lay an egg. It's not like you've laid eggs before. You have this year, so that doesn't surprise me. But it's the way you did it. You just came out, as you said, Gerald, and a perfectly succinct and perspicacious word, listless. It was listless from the tip. And you just decided to, you were just going to sleepwalk through the first quarter. And we were only down 29-26 at that point, but that should have been kind of the canary in the mine, because we should have been down, you know, 36-24. It should have been a 12-point deficit or a 15-point deficit rather than a 3-point one. And then the third quarter comes around, and invariably Darvin Ham struggles again in the third quarter. The Lakers down by as many as 19 in the first half, get it down to 8.5. Then all of a sudden, Bulls hit a 3. Bulls hit another 3. And you would think at this point, maybe Ham calls a timeout. You're down by 15. Nope. Next possession, missed shot. Bulls come down the other end. It's an easy transition bucket, and then he calls a timeout. That 9-0 lead was huge. And it's just another example of his lack of attention to detail as a coach from a fan's perspective. Because you know you've had troubles in the third quarter. You know we're the worst team in the third quarter. And instead of doing the best thing possible, which is call timeout because it's getting away from them, you decide, no, they're professionals. I'm just going to watch. Right, Gerald? That's That's what Jason Kidd says. I'm just going to watch. It seems like Darvin Ham does a lot of watching too. And he watched that lead balloon to 17 points. And
it was actually at 20 at one point in time.
Yeah. So you're down 17 now with no D'Angelo Russell. By the way, you haven't played Jared Vanderbilt much at all in the third quarter. You played him 2 minutes. And you're not playing Rui. And you don't play Rui, and the reporters ask you why you don't play Rui, and your response is because there aren't enough minutes to go around. End quote.
I'd love to also ban the process of being able to have no motion in the offense. Absolutely no motion in the offense. Absolutely just no rotations in defense. And people are trying to defend Ham. And I commend people that are trying to defend Ham in the chat. They're really saying positive things about Ham in the chat, you know, because I know a lot of people in the chat are probably against Ham, and they're saying they're against Ham as far as just the not against Ham per se, but just the fact that he's not coaching the way this team needs to be coached. True, the Lakers have had bad luck on more than one occasion this year, but there's also been quite a few coaching issues that have prevented us from being in a better place than where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like the offensive standstill thing, like I think it just comes from a place of confusion with this team because nobody really knows what their role is offensively. When you don't have a scheme or system, it's just like you're trying to figure out. You want to make cuts, but you don't want to make the wrong cuts and run into a teammate or you know, clog the paint when they are about to drive into it. I think a lot of guys are just hesitant to want to move around because they don't know where they're supposed to move to. And I think that that's a huge issue for them. I don't want to keep harping on it over and over. So, but in terms of, you know, everything else, I think, again, the Lakers are a talented team, a team that I think, you know, has potential, but I think that we're severely limited with coaching as well as other things defensively. But I'm going to continue to root for them. I'm going to continue to, you know, want them to win. But I think that this team really has to do some internal look within the team as to some self-reflection as to what it is that we can improve as a team moving forward. How can we get better? And what are the options and roads to doing that? I think that that has to be the big thing. The Lakers, this coming stretch, this road stretch that they're going to be on, I think we're going to have to be healthy, number one. Like, I don't think that we can afford to have D'Lo missing for a longer period of games than, you know, maybe next game. But after that, like, if D'Lo's missing 3, 4, 5 games, I think this is going to be a super difficult road stretch for us. We're going to have a lot of trouble, you know, being able to get the offense going, because D'Lo is actually a big part of that. He's someone that, despite, you know, the offensive inconsistency in terms of scheme and sets, D'Lo is one of the catalysts as to what gets the offense going. And once he's able to get into the paint or handle past his point of attack guy, I think things start to fall in place a little bit easier for the team. And without D'Lo being there for a bit of time, it could really hurt us during this road stretch. So I'm concerned about that. But the hope is, again, that the silver lining to everything today was LeBron coming back. And being back during this road stretch hopefully gives a little bit of alleviation to that sort of worry that we may have in terms of the offense falling into place and someone to be the catalyst for it. And I think that, you know, it's really good to have him back now as opposed to that Clippers game. And getting his legs under him a little bit. Hopefully by the time those final 3, 4 games come around, he's back to full strength again, and we can finish off really, really strong, and hopefully have a healthy D'Lo back as well. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel in that regard, that, you know, we do hopefully have a fully healthy team going into whatever play-in seed we likely have. Maybe a playoff, but at this point, I'm just really hoping for a play-in. And we, you know, can go from there once we have a fully healthy team. And whatever happens, happens. Hopefully we make a little bit of noise. Darvin Ham proves us wrong at the end of the season, and you know, we can all celebrate and look stupid when they go much farther than what we may expect currently.
One of the things I ask you before I turn it over to Sean is, when it comes to the upcoming 5-game road trip, because this was not the way you want to have that kind of momentum going into a 5-game road trip. You do not want to get killed like this. If it's a close loss, okay, that's no problem. You know, the Lakers gave that kind of effort and let the chips fall where they may. But what do you see the Lakers doing on this 5-game road trip? They now need to win 6 of the next 7 games. They now need to win the majority of these games. Can they make themselves... can they put themselves in a much better position than they are now with a successful road trip? Do you see that happening?
Again, I don't, because we don't have consistency, right? Like, if I had seen before with this team that we can go on a win streak, like, and string together 5, 6, 7 wins.
Win streak is 5 for the season.
Yeah, we have had 5, and that came a little bit earlier, but I think that, you know, and then those win streaks, it's like we have those and then we fall back into 1-1 or 2-1 and then 3-2, all these sort of, you know, back and forth type things. So I'm not convinced that we'll go 6-7 in this final stretch, but I do think that we have a chance to, you know, hopefully go 4 or 5 games we could win out of this and still get ourselves into that play-in position, which is ultimately what we have. But for me, the playoff position, that seed, since the final 10 game stretch, it's always seemed to me a little bit far-fetched for this team and the lack of consistency that we have had throughout this season. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I think that right now the playing is just more the focus for me, and getting 4 games out of this final stretch is really sort of the goal for me with this team at the moment, and more of a realistic expectation, I believe.
Sean, I want to ask you this, because I was going to save it for you, my friend. The Lakers are coming out on this 5-game road trip. It is highly crucial. It's the season right there in the nutshell for the Lakers on this 5-game road trip. What are you expecting to get done during this 5-game road trip?
Gerald, I guess we should expect maybe a 3-2 or a 2-3 record, given the fact that they're 37-38. I think that would be the reasonable expectation. Could the extremes go in either direction? I'm sure they could. But, you know, Gerald, at this point, I'm resigned to the fact that I understand now, as a Laker fan, exactly what Darvin Ham is as a coach. And so, to me, it's basically, Stone's been hinting at it, it's really the onus is upon basically LeBron, AD, and possibly, you know, a couple of other people, but basically the leadership of the Lakers to get them into a play-in game, because I don't think Darvin Ham is capable by himself. And by the way, should be noted too, and this is important, the deeper you go into the NBA playoffs, the better defenses there are. That's true. But there's also better coaching. The coaching gets extremely better the further you go along. And if you don't have an adequate coaching mind to, say, get into a battle of wits with a Monty Williams or a Michael Malone or possibly a Tyronn Lue, Darvin Ham just isn't on their level. He's not on their level. And I think in a 7-game series, you know, if we don't get Pop just based off of a talent and a scheme perspective, we're going to lose because of a coaching issue.
And that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem indeed. But Sean, you've been fantastic as always, my friend. Want to make sure everybody knows that Sean was leading up and did such a great job for leading us into the pregame on the playback.tv/Lakers Fast Break. Stone, you've got some great things going on with Upside Swing's NBA Draft Podcast. So before we close out our Laker thoughts, I want to go ahead and make sure everybody knows what you're doing at the Upside Swing's NBA Draft Podcast.
Yeah, we're just continuing to chug along with all the player breakdowns, giving detailed analysis on hopefully, like, at least 60 prospects, probably closer to 100. And, you know, everything about their games, as well as like next weekend, we'll be doing all of the remaining March Madness games and breaking all that down. And if you want to find out more or find more updates on episodes as they release, you could follow me at @report_court on Twitter or the podcast account at Upside Swings on Twitter.
There you go. Great show indeed. So if you want your update of what's going on with everything relating to the NBA draft, it's the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. And Sean, you've got a morning date for everybody on Magic Man in the Morning coming up this Friday, as he does, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. I was going to kick it over to him. There he is. There he is. You were so excited to go ahead and plug your own show that you actually kicked yourself out.
Well, thank you very much. Yes. Please like and subscribe to the Lakers Fast Break and tune into Magic Man in the Morning on Friday, March 31st. Go on usually between 10:30 Eastern and 10:50 Eastern. So 7:30 Pacific is when you probably want to catch us. And it's turning into a great show and everybody's really enjoying it. So I'm glad it's been met with a positive audience response, Gerald.
Absolutely. Great to have everyone here because we have the best Lakers chat that's out there right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Some differing opinions. It's been great to see, though, as far as on the side of Ham, on the other side of Ham, on the side of the Lakers. We like to go ahead and have healthy, respectful NBA chats here at the Lakers Fast Break, and I think we did so today. I'm hoping for better things on Wednesday. The Lakers should be motivated now, seeing as how today's effort with a 118-108 loss was very disappointing indeed, but we do have LeBron back. Hopefully we'll have D'Lo back. Any last thoughts, Stone, before we head on out?
No, I don't think so. I think I've said my piece in this podcast, all that I wanted to say.
All right, all right. And then check out your work this week with Upside Swings. Magic Man, any last shots? You started the day with us, my friend. You get to end it as well.
Thank you very much, Podfather. And I just wanted to say, although a very disappointing, dispirited effort. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are only 37-38. We're still in a play-in position. So that's positive. We need to win 3 in a row again and quite possibly some more. So I'm hoping we start a new winning streak on Wednesday and Darvin Ham is able to not have to coach hard in the fourth quarter to pull out a victory, because I think Billy Donovan's got his number.
Well, let's hope that changes on Wednesday. We're looking forward to a great matchup between the Lakers and the Bulls on Wednesday. We will also be back for some NBA observations. Looking forward to it. And I also hope to set up a Do You Know Your Lakers trivia this week. So we'll see if we can go ahead and do that as well when we've got everything that's going on with L. Rob. So thanks so much, everybody, for being a part of what we're doing here. Unfortunately, the Lakers do lose 118-108. We'll be back on Wednesday night looking hopefully for a Lakers win. So please join us for that. Plus, we got other stuff coming up for you this week. And the best Lakers chat room that's out there, despite the loss today, is the Lakers Fast Break. So thank you to everyone for being a part of what we're doing today. Thank you for the subscribe, King Lou. Truly appreciate it. Subscribe and like to get the latest notifications when we go live on the air. We will be back this week for much, much more. It's now crucial time for the Lakers. The season is now on the line as the Lakers head out on the road. How will they do? We'll find out right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.